68 tonight, and I'm going to be bam, bam, bam tonight. I just got four or five things I want to say to you this evening. I want to say thank you so much for this week. I've enjoyed it, and we'll probably leave on Friday, it looks like. But we'll all blink our eyes, and we'll come back in here, and this is going to look like a different room. Bible school, amen? Eric Liddell, pressing toward the mark. And sure, pray about that. We're working on getting everything organized for it. It's that time of year, the crunch time, you know, getting things done. Churches are trying to figure out if they're going to have Bible school or not, all the rules and regulations and things like that. Just trying to get everything done, want to do the right things. The teen area, we want to reach out, see teenagers saved. And Eric Liddell, missionary to China. So this is going to turn into China, all right, somehow, all right? And that's just going to be a great time. If you are not, if you were here this week and you think I really am thinking about teaching, let me tell you a great time to step up and teach. Vacation Bible School. First of all, there's a lot of one-on-one teaching that goes on, helping with memory verses, but there's classes that need teachers, and during Bible school, they need more than one teacher. And during Bible school, you could actually teach just, there's 5 days, five verses, five lessons. The same person doesn't have to teach the lesson all week long. You could just take one lesson and teach one day. Talk to pastor about it. The lessons will be coming to him soon. And you can look through those, and you can take some things you learned and apply it and see what God does. And so it's a great time, Vacation Bible School. Already be signing people up for it, amen? You know, last year we had to move it down a couple of weeks. That hurt us. That hurt us because people were already, you know, checked out, mine, made plans. We're back to almost the normal week this year. But it's still not the normal week because Memorial Day is Monday. That's the 31st. And so the 1st of June is on a Tuesday. We can't start Bible school that week. It's the week after that. So we are still about 5 days from where we like to be. We like it when it's like the 2nd or 3rd of June, that first week of June like that. That's the best week as far as here in Custer before people vacate, you know. And so, but be telling people about it so they're here. Look at your work schedules. Try to get time off if you can. Help in the morning, help at night, whatever. And if you only do it one day, just be here for that. It'll be a great blessing. And once again, just thank you so much. You're always so kind to us. My kids like being here. We like being here, and we enjoy it all the time. Psalm chapter number 68 tonight. We're going to read, I would like to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to read some of the verses here to get the idea of what's taking place. So verse number 1 says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God." That's an amazing verse, isn't it? "But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah." I like that. One of God's names. Isn't that nice? "And rejoice before him." Now, verse 5 is our text. It says, "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation." Look at verse number 6. "God setteth the solitary in families." Isn't that nice? There should never be a lonely person, because you always have the family of God, amen? Boy, that's when you get saved, you got a new family. And I just love that thought there, what God does. And then we sang that song a few moments ago. "He bringeth out those which are bound with chains." Whew. Isn't that great? My chains fell off, amen? I didn't break them. God did it. And he brought me out, amen? I every time I think about that, I'm just like, wow. Because, you know, And so thankful for the cigarettes getting victory over that. But let me just say something tonight. We all have things we need victory over. I sometimes wish in church we'd have more times people saying, "Pastor, I got some victory over my anger, amen." Woo! We'd get excited. "Pastor, I've been getting victory over my pride, amen. God's so good to me." I mean, you know, if we just be real in life. Because we all have things, right? We do. We do. It's just sometimes the thing we have, maybe people see more than they do the others. But boy, James tells us, you know, confessing our faults one to another, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. our prayer lives will be changed when we start seeing those victories in people's lives. Amen. Here's a big one. Preacher, God's given me victory over not liking you. It's just happened. Hallelujah. Or maybe it's not the preacher. Maybe it's somebody else. Because family, right? But do families always get along? Do you ever have family problems? Isn't it good when family problems get solved? It's good when church problems get solved too, amen? And it's victory. It's God doing it, and I'm so glad he does it. That's not my message tonight, but I just thought that was fun. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Isn't that interesting? You can be a saved person and still be rebellious. Jump down to verse 19, just because I don't want to. The problem is if I read this whole psalm, I'll stop too much, and we'll be here till midnight, and you won't get your teacher's meeting in. Amen. Verse number 19 says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Isn't that a good verse? Just think about it. You know, blessed be the Lord, who daily, okay, not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, daily doesn't give us a benefit. Loadeth, okay? You know, you take the gravel truck down to the gravel yard and you say, load me up. What does he put, one rock in? Throws a little stone in? What does he do? He loads it. He dumps it. He puts it all on there because they're going to go weigh you and he's going to make more money, amen? I mean, that's what this verse is saying. Who daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, you get a job and you say, what are the benefits? Let me tell you something. When you got salvation, you get a daily load of benefits. I just like it. I just look at that and I'm just like, wow. Even the God of our salvation. Verse 20 says, he that is our God is the God of salvation. Unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Jump down a little bit further. Verse 28. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. What a wonderful prayer. And then jump down to verse 32. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Verse 34. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. And then, O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. I read all of those verses tonight because I really do want us for a few minutes to just remember who our Father is, who our God is. I mean, he has everything. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, my father, my earthly father loves me, okay? And we have a good relationship. And my earthly father would do probably anything for me that he could do. There's only a problem. He can't do everything that I need him to do. I can't call him up today and say, Dad, you know, I need $5,000. I'm just sorry, he's not able to do that. If he could, he would. I know, no doubt that he would. I'm the oldest son. I'm his favorite. Amen. I hope my brothers watch this. That's great. I mean, he really would. He's my father. He loves me. I mean, really. And there's times that he's done things for me that I knew he was sacrificing to do things for me because he loved me. I have a heavenly father that has no limitations. I have a heavenly father that can do anything. Now, don't go out at night and say, well, I'm just going to ask God for $1 million because he has it. He can give it to me. Yeah, but he also knows what you need. Amen. He knows what's best for you. But I want us for just a few minutes tonight just to get that in our head. And hope you're sitting there thinking, wow, what an amazing God that we have. Because I think sometimes we forget that. I think we forget that daily he loads us with benefits. Every day, do any of you have a problem with murmuring and complaining? I'll raise my hand. Oh my, there's one of those things that hopefully someday we could say, hey, you know what, preacher? God's given me victory over my murmuring and complaining, because he can. He can help us. He can help us stop it. And by the way, he calls it one of those things that's abominable. Man, my heart gets convicted when I murmur and complain. I say, Lord, I just want to stop that and praise you. Amen. I'm saying God is just everything. And we read that little word there, and I'm not even going to try to preach on it tonight, in Psalm 68, in verse 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice with him. That word Jah, you can go into some depths on it, but I'll just summarize it real quickly. It's the idea of, it's Jehovah, but it's in an active sense. Not in the sense that he has done something for us or he will do something for us, but in the sense that he is right now doing it for us. It's a very wonderful thing to think about, that we have an active God that is very active in our lives. I'm so thankful that on March the 5th of 1980, 11 o'clock at night, I changed fathers. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, you have your father, the devil. And I was living under that wicked father. But boy, that day that he saved me, whew, what a day that was. I'm not his anymore. But tonight I want us to come back to what we see here. Because he says in verse number 5, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Can anybody quote for me James chapter 1, verse number 27 by chance? Pure religion. Let's look at it, because I know some of you are looking at me like, I know it, and Pastor knows it. I know some of you know it, but let's look at it. James chapter 1, verse number 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Do you see how that fits back with Psalm 68? Because I kind of think that if you met my dad, you would say, wow, you're a lot like your dad. And if you meet my son, you'd probably say, oh, he's a lot like you. Not in every way, but there are similarities. Should we not be like our Heavenly Father? And we see it right here, back in Psalms, by his name Jah, an active God, active in our lives presently, as a father, setting the fatherless into a family, giving them a habitation, taking people that are bound in their chains and setting them free. That's what we're supposed to be doing too. And we see it right here. What does it say? Pure religion is to visit the fatherless in their affliction. It's to care for those widows. And I remind us tonight, that third one, keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, I find, and this is just Bill Smith observation, okay? This is my 2 cents worth. I find that you often find the keep themselves unspotted people, okay? And because they're such the keep themselves unspotted people, they won't visit the fatherless and the widows, okay? And they're just the holy people. I'm just going to say God's not pleased with that. He's not pleased with it, okay? Because he puts all three of them in there, amen? But then I also find people that, man, they're all wrapped up. I mean, they get it. They understand we are supposed to be helping lives. But they forget that third part, keep myself unspotted from the world. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ was, wasn't he? He was in the world, but not of the world. He ate with the sinners, but he wasn't the sinner. And that's how we are supposed to be. We are supposed to have such a heart of compassion and help towards people that we want to do everything we can to bring them out of that life of sin. But at the same time, we don't go into the sin. We keep our lives pure and holy. So tonight I just want to, I just for a few minutes, I just kind of want to talk about that. some things that we would do if we're going to fulfill the setting of the solitary into families, to helping the fatherless, to helping those that are chained. What is it going to do? Well, the first one that we're going to look at is in the book of Deuteronomy and chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And it's a simple thought. It's simply teaching. Teaching. If I could say it this way, we need to be teachers adopting some children. Miss Wilma was teaching in the Anchor Club the story of George Mueller. You know the story of George Mueller, who by faith started those orphanages, took thousands of children off of the streets, brought them into his orphanage home, and sent them out as different people. And as she was concluding the lesson, she was trying to express to those children how that's what, you know, the church wants to do. Wants to adopt you, not physically in the sense that you change homes, but adopt you into the church what? Family, okay? And that's really what a good teacher does. And we talked about this week. Teachers that clock in and clock out are not good teachers, okay? The best teachers involve themselves in the student's life. So Deuteronomy chapter number 6, just read a couple of verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." That's the keep yourself unspotted part, okay? You got to get God in you in a right way. But then it says in verse number 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not." He goes on in verse 11. Talks about all the good things. Verse 12, he says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt." I'm saying tonight that all of us have been adopted into the family of God if we are saved. And what God did for us, we need to do for others. Have you adopted some people? Are you teaching them? If tonight we said, who are your students? Who is it that you're investing? And please don't say this tonight. Please don't assume I'm talking about you just adopting a child. Okay? Pastor and I visited people this week that need someone to adopt them. Someone that needs to go by their house because they are fatherless. They don't know the God of heaven. They are out of habitation. Their life is messed up. And somebody needs to say, you know what, I'm going to take those people and adopt them. I'm going to start teaching them, spending time with them. Every one of us is supposed to be doing that. If we're going to be like God, we're going to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, but we're still going to go out and visit the fatherless. We're going to visit those people that need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to teach them. You know, how many of you got saved the first time somebody told you about Jesus Christ? I mean, somebody came up to you and said, did you know that you're a sinner and God is perfect and he created the world and he died on the cross for you, and if you believe on him, you'll be saved and you're going to heaven. And you looked at them and said, could you say that again a little slower? What does this all mean? And you know what? You came to church, you heard preaching, you read a gospel tract, you read a Bible, somebody else talked to you, somebody else. That's how teaching is it not? I don't think that everybody here this week, everything I said, they just said, oh yeah, I got it. They're like, that's a lot of stuff. Are you a teacher tonight? If you like the Lord Jesus Christ, you will teach. Now, Pastor said something on Sunday, which made me think about these thoughts, is that really what we're talking about is a lot like parenting. And it is, because that's what God is. He becomes our parent. So look at Proverbs chapter number 3. Because something else that needs to be taking place is not just that adoption, that teaching, drawing someone underneath your wing. There is this truth. And this is an interesting truth. Proverbs chapter number 3. And verse number 12. I hope I can say this right tonight. I've been pondering this afternoon how I could say this one. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." Now, I got to thinking about this because some people like the correction part. They're really good at seeing what's wrong and they just can't wait to correct it. But I think we're missing something. He said, even as the Father in the Son whom he what? Delighteth. Whom the Lord loveth, he what? So should we be doing correcting if we haven't delighted and loved? Amen. Yeah, but it's wrong. Oh, I know it's wrong. But until I have delighted in that person and loved that person, do I really have a right to correct it? Think about that. This is where I think in parenting, sometimes we make huge mistakes. We can be heavy on the correction and light on the loving. Light on the delighting. Because we ought to delight in them. That's my third thought. Number one, teach, adopt, take them under your wing. Number two, correct them. But to correct, you must delight. Now look at Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. You know, sometimes you hear somebody say something. You know, there'll be a preacher somewhere. A man, he's preaching. Wow. And he's saying some things to his church. And another preacher hears that, and so that other preacher goes to his church and he says the same things. And it doesn't work out as well. Because he hadn't loved his church like the other preacher loved his church. It's true. That delight. Look at what the Bible says here. Matthew chapter number 7. Look at this. Verse number 7. It says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now look at verse 9. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now look at verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even as so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. If you delight in your son, what are you going to do? You're going to give him what he asked for, if it's what's right and needful in his life. He doesn't have to come to you with doubts and saying, Dad, could I have some bread? And think you're going to give him something else? I mean, that's just like daily stuff, right? You're going to give him a snake in a bag? No. And our Father delights in us. God delights in us. And daily loadeth us with what? Benefits. I'm just saying tonight, if you're going to visit the fatherless and help them, if you want to be able to correct them, you have to delight in them. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we miss this. We see somebody, and our nature is, I'm just going to set them straight because they need to be set straight because it's not very nice. But you know how much that hurts a person? Because they don't know that you love them. They don't know that you care about them. And they take it as, it's just another person that doesn't care for me. But boy, when you delight in them and you visit them and you do something for them and you help them and you compliment them, you know, if you correct somebody, it's always nice to compliment them first. And we fall in that trap, you know, just negative. I do anyhow. Maybe you don't, but I do. I can get that way with my own children. I can just get to where, you know, they did a good job, but I just spend my time, you know. Do you know why teachers put smiley faces on papers? You did a good job. Because we sure put a lot of bad marks on papers, don't we? And sometimes in life you have to learn to delight. And you have to say to somebody, wow, you know what, you really did good here. And we just don't do that, do we? We just want to mold people, shape people. You know that working with kids, you know? Wow, you really colored that nice. Now let's work on getting in the lines. Do you understand that principle? Or you can just say, you know, you really need to get that in the lines. Next week, they're not bringing the paper back. But when you hang that paper on the wall, you say, that was just wonderful. I really love that. I have a box in my shed, I have in my trailer, of just stuff that kids have given me. When they gave it to me, I tried to make a big deal about it. Wow, this is just great. This is wonderful. Because you know what? You know why they gave it to me? Because they were delighting in me. I want to delight back in them. And you know what I've learned? When I do that, I can say things to those kids that nobody else can. I'm going to tell you, your pastor can say things to these kids in Anchor Clubs that other people can't, because he delights in them. It's an important truth that we sure want to grab a hold of. And then you're right there in Matthew, turn over to chapter number 6, because there is a little bit different here. Because we could say, what are the good gifts that people need? We need to give them the basic things that they need. But there's also another concept. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no, what's that next word there? Reward of your Father which is in heaven. So, yes, you need to adopt them, teach them, take them under your wings. You need to correct them, but only correct them if you delight in them. But it is also important to reward them. I love these verses. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a, what's that word? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We asked that question the other night in the teaching, and we didn't really have the time to teach a whole session on it about rewards. Rewards are important. And God is a rewarder. Our Father is a rewarder. Amen? Look what it says in Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 12. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, look at this, to give every man according as his work shall be. It's not talking about salvation, because it says according to his what? You reward works. Work gets rewarded. Isn't that right? Now, I tell my kids, they work, they get to eat. Amen. Amen. They get to eat a second helping. Amen. That's the reward. They get to eat something besides vegetables. They get to have a cookie. All right. That's a reward. All right. No. But really, do you understand what a reward is? A reward is something special because of the effort you put into something. And I want to tell you something. How many of you like rewards? If you're not raising your hand, you're sleeping. Yeah, we all like rewards. Amen. If you work a job, don't you kind of like at the end of the month when the company says, here's your bonus? That's not your paycheck, friend. That is based upon what? Your work. You like that reward, you know? You like that reward. Listen, guys, when you put your wife's flowers in and you fix it the way she wants it, and you come in and she's cooking and you're smelling that, that's your reward. I'm just telling you. She's happy. Life is full of rewards. And we ought to be a people that reward people. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse number 35. Luke chapter 6, verse number 35. It says, love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Isn't that amazing? But look at the rest of it. And your reward shall be what? Huh. Isn't that amazing? God says, here's something you can do, and I'm going to reward you for it. Now, I'll tell you something. I believe if a church wants God to reward it, they take care of the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep themselves unspotted from the world. And you know what God's going to give you? Going to give you those baptisms. He's going to give you those salvations. The Apostle Paul talked about those people that got saved as being his crown of rejoicing in heaven. That's a reward, friend. But if we don't stay invested in that, we could lose that reward. Listen, I'm in churches all the time, and I'm not preaching this message tonight to be a accusation against your church. I want this message to be an affirmation that what you're doing is the right thing. That's what I'm trying to get across tonight is you're going to hear people say Mountain View Baptist Church maybe isn't what it ought. I want to tell you something. I'm trying to say tonight what you're doing is what you need to keep doing because God rewards it. But sometimes in our life, things happen and we get bent and we need to be reminded to say, wait a second, this is what it's all about. It's about helping people. It's about what Pastor Matt is talking about tonight. I don't think it's an accident. I didn't know anything about that letter until he read it tonight. You're going to get any gain out of putting stuff in those backpacks. Well, wait a second. Maybe you will. Maybe God might reward you in some way. Do you get that? But from a practical viewpoint, it's like, what's in it for us? Do you see what I'm saying? Helping people and doing what Jesus did. When Jesus fed the multitudes and walked among them, they didn't all follow him. They tried to kill him. And you'll do good. And we just read about our enemies here. People are not going to like what you're doing all the time. Don't let it get to yourself. What do we do to our enemies? We bless them. We be kind to them. We're heaping coals of fire on their head. Now, when you teach that verse around kids, you got to make sure you explain what it means. Because they're going to go camping and their buddy they don't like so well, they take a shovel and throw a whole pile on their head and say, I heard it in church. I'm heaping coals of fire on my friend's head, you know. You got to explain it's that kindness that we do. And I'm telling you, that's what Jesus did. But don't forget, he also kept himself what? Unspotted from the world. Last one and I'm done. Psalm 103. This is an interesting verse. Psalm 103, we'll just start at verse number 1. Psalm 103, verse number 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and here it is, and forget not all his, how often does he load us with benefits? Daily. Wow, I like it. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now this is some of the benefits right there. Whew. Aren't you glad for that one? Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Wow. One of his benefits that he loads me with is he gives me loving kindness and mercy. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I heard an old preacher, he's in Malawi, and he was just basically left his church at 60-something, went to Malawi, started orphanages, he's 80-something now. Traveling back and forth, doing all types of stuff. I think some of the things you, John and Romans, you did up probably are on the container going to his place over there. And he just was saying, you know why God lets me keep going on like this? Because, like young? Because I'm doing things for him that nobody else will do. He said, who else is going to go to Malawi? Go home tonight and do a little research on Malawi, how impoverished and war-torn and terrible it is. That country. Wow. And he just goes, he tells the story how he started. He was over there, saw these kids on the street. Remember, he's at that time 60, almost 70 years of age. He's left his church, his nice church, his nice job, his nice everything. He and his wife go to Malawi. He sees some kids sitting there, obviously have not eaten for how long, who nobody knows. So he goes in the store, he buys a loaf of bread, he comes out, he sits them down on the curb, he gives them the loaf, the slices of bread, talks to them. He can't really talk much because of the language barrier, but he fed them. He said he came back the next day, there's twice as many kids sitting there. He said that was the problem. I went in the store, bought bread, and he said he realized, he said, I got to do more than buy bread, and he started an orphanage. And for the last 20-some years of his life, he spends his days tromping around America, trying to convince churches to give him money for those people in Malawi. And today, he's got preacher boys and churches that have been established. I'm just saying, he says, that's why God, because people look at him, they say, man, how do you how do you function at that age doing, I mean, come on, traveling on airplanes in a country like that is not easy stuff. It's hard enough just driving, you know, across town. God does that for him. Verse 6, got to hurry. The Lord executed the righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. We could dwell on all those, we won't. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Nor rewardeth us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed us, removed our transgressions from us. Now look at this, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And we just don't like that, do we? Be honest. Pity? Showing pity? But look at the reason why. He gives it to us in the next verse. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. I'm so glad tonight that God pities me. Because you know what this is right here? This is just a frame of dust. That's all it is. And God knows that. And we're supposed to be like him. And it's so easy to see people and get into our condemning spirit instead of having pity and being remindful of something, that that frame is just dust. And as my Father shows pity on me today and daily loads me with benefits, he's so good to me. He doesn't remember all my iniquities. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't remember all my bad things. And I'll guarantee I haven't pleased him in every way this week like I wished I would have. But he pities me. And he says, I'm going to give you benefits. Keep living for me. Why? Because there's a world out there full of people that he died for. He died for every single one of them. And the only way to reach them is through us. Isn't that amazing? So let's do it. Let's be a people. Let's continue to be a people. Let's never get sidetracked. Let's do all three of those things. Let's make sure we work on keeping ourselves unspotted. We're growing in grace and knowledge, becoming more like Christ every single day in our life as we live. At the same time, we have a heart full of compassion that compels us to adopt people under our wing, teach them, chasten them. But we can only correct and chasten them when we what? Delight in them. And boy, as we delight in them and we care for them, and wow, what a thing. They're going to hurt you. They're going to do it. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to let you down. And when that happens, what do you need to do? Have pity on them. Love them. It is, love them. We sometimes get pity in the wrong mindset. But pity on them and say, you know what? They're dust. Just like me. And do you know how many times God's given me another chance? I don't want to talk about it. So let's give them another chance too. Amen. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it. You're seeing the reward of it. God's going to reward you. And I'll tell you what the reward you want. The reward you want is what God has given you. Change lives. There really is. I mean, come on, what else do we want? Change lives. Whether it's here, from somebody you had pity on 20 years ago at Star Academy, and now they have a changed life. From somebody that came to your church and, you know, came to Bible school, got saved, and then went off in life, but now has come back. That's a reward in my book, amen. God does it. Let's pray tonight. Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for this time. Lord, would you raise up teachers, people right here, God, in this place. Lord, thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for the heart of the pastor. Thank you for the heart of the people. Lord, I know it's not without problems. Lord, I know tonight that we have difficulties. We have sins we need to deal with. Lord, there are struggles. Our flesh rises up. Our pride rises up. And God, I pray you'd always give them grace to work through those things as a family. Lord, that there might be a strong place of refuge right here that will impact the world. And Lord, bless them, strengthen them, Lord, and may you just meet the needs. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.